gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chuckling wildly over the rude pundit, as we do every morning. We'll be talking to him in less than a half an hour. He tweets.
He said, me, Monday morning, Stephanie Miller Show. Mm-hmm. You, listening and touching yourself in ecstasy. Uh-huh. See you there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And his previous tweet was, you know what makes me sad? Even if Glenn Beck is caught blowing an illegal tranny, Time would just call him provocative or outrageous.
Thank you, rude pundit.
Edgy.
He will be on with us in just a few minutes. In the next hour, Eric Bollert of Media Matters. Bill O'Reilly, Jim, is saying that the far left is accusing him of supporting the public option. And why is that?
Because he said he supports the public option.
We have him on tape supporting the public option. But I am, as you know, a far left zealot distorting his words once again. We will.
What a buffoon.
Yes. We'll talk about that next hour with Eric Bollert. All right. They also tend to do far-left zealot things like record Bill O'Reilly and then place it on their website so that you can hear with your own ears what he said.
Everything within context as well.
Mm-hmm. Your commie, Nazi, fascist, Muslim ears.
All right. Media Matters, a rude pundit, two of our favorite internet destinations. Now, Radiotime.com, who we would like to thank.
Yes.
They are a developer of technology for finding and listening to radio online. Today released the August list, a ranking of the most listened to programs on Radiotime.com for the month of August. Making the list for the first time, the Stephanie Miller program.
Hey, how about
that? The only progressive show on there. Look at that. We are we have debuted at number 18.
We're number 18.
We're number... Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Okay.
Okay. All right.
That's a jump up from 36.
Does that make me a celebrity?
Are you?
Maybe
we could have your antics in tinsel talk.
Julie writes, House Republicans are resurrecting the old 08 anti-Obama celebrity to ridicule his three-day broadcast blitz because he's talking about something sort of important. That would be health care reform, which we are desperately in need of in this country. But because he went on the TV shows, Jim, he's just a celebrity.
Democratically.
You know, I think
celebrity.
The president of the United States is kind of by default a celebrity.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he? Mm-hmm. Celebrity Sunday is almost upon us, said the RNC, and while many of us have no choice but to tune in, the numbers continue to show that people are tuning the president out.
Yeah. Computer says no.
Actually incorrect. Eric Cantor said, a Celebrity Sunday quickly approaching. See, that's their talking point, Celebrity Sunday. That's how they were mocking the president being on the TV yesterday. All right.
Well, he did not appear on Fox, strangely enough.
Oddly. Okay.
I can't imagine why.
Christopher has written with some Orly Tate's fun facts, a little update. Orly Tate's, of course, the head of the birther movement, whose lawsuit was thrown out of court. Hey, Jiggles, here's some fun things afoot from bat crazy birther Orly Tate's. Orly Tate's, pardon me. Late last week, U.S. District Judge Clay Land, a Bush appointee, as we know, similarly dismissed Oily's frivolous lawsuit brought on behalf of Army Captain Connie Rhodes, a surgeon who claims she couldn't follow her orders to deploy to Iraq because she's not sure President Obama's, you know, really president-eligible. Orly, who likes to get hysterical when her insane theories are not held up as anything more than psychotic, frivolous drool, was very unhappy with this and basically accused the judge of committing treason. That's where we were in the story last week.
Oh, right. Treason.
Land was none too pleased with this.
I can't imagine.
In an order issued Friday, I had not heard this. Land denied Tate's angry request to reconsider his decision and announced that he was considering making good on his threat of sanctions. He ordered the attorney/dentist to show cause why the court should not impose a monetary penalty of $10,000 upon plaintiff's counsel for her misconduct. So what happened this weekend?
What?
Are you ready? In a hilarious twist, Captain Rhodes herself sent a letter to Judge Clay Land, blasting Tate's for filing the motion not to stay her deployment without even asking her. Apparently, she was not even aware of this lawsuit on her behalf.
Oh, my God. Wow.
She wrote, I do not wish Ms. Tate's to file any future motions or represent me in any way in this court. It is my plan to file a complaint with the California State Bar due to her reprehensible and unprofessional actions.
Wow.
LOL. So what does Dear Oily do? You guessed it. She doubles down on the angry and the crazy. Check out this bat screed. This is in part what Oily had to say this weekend.
Oh.
I will respond to Judge Land's outrageous attack and threatened and threat of sanctions. This is very similar to what I've seen in the communist dictatorship in the Soviet Union. She called him a communist again, basically.
Right.
Let's see. The Department of Justice, Department of Defense are colluding and perpetrating massive fraud and treason on the citizens of this country and taking away the constitutional rights. What is next? They will throw me in a FEMA gulag? In caps.
Oh, no.
With Glenn
Let
Beck.
Me finish.
Let me finish.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
I hope each and every citizen of this country rises up against this tyranny.
Computer says no.
Yeah, we'll get on that.
Because she lost a case.
Yeah, that's tyranny.
Yeah. I will be seeking all means of redress available to me by law. Obama is indeed illegitimate. My case was not frivolous. And not only don't I owe $10,000 in sanctions, but the defendants owe costs and my reasonable attorney's fees. These fees just went up significantly.
Oh, my God.
So the president owes her money before he goes back to Kenya.
Whatever.
Yeah, because...
Can he pay in Kenyan dollars? Whatever.
Clearly he will. And she, okay, so Chris from San Diego writes, okay, so the funny part is she's basically saying she's going to arbitrarily raise her fees for her client retroactively because her client thinks she's an insane idiot.
Yeah.
Is that something Attorney Dennis can legally do? Now that you said that, my bill just got higher.
And then I will drill your tooth without Novocaine. Let me finish drilling your tooth.
Lastly, her minions are writing a letter campaign attacking Judge Land personally. Smooth move, birthers.
Yeah.
I can't wait for her to get into a bar and thrown in jail for contempt and or committed to a mental hospital. I want her to keep ramping up the crazy so much that she's indistinguishable sanity-wise from the urine-soaked homeless guy that shouts, Zoroaster raped my seesaw!
I know that guy.
At random passersby. P.S. I'm thinking of gaslighting her by anonymously posting false additional birther conspiracy angles from new non-existent fabricated players just to wind her up even more. Chris in San Diego. Oh, Chris. You're a scamp.
Oh, God.
I think someone should pay her with Australian doctor dollars doctored to look like Kenyan money.
Yes!
That would be...
See if she tries to spend it.
Yeah. That would drive her insane.
You want to cash it? This is treason. You want to take my money? Let me finish.
Somebody should do a whole new, like, candid camera that's just based on punking her.
Oh, my God.
Repeatedly.
Oh,
every
my
week,
God.
There'll be, like, a new birth certificate or person or something that she falls for. Okay. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story, hey, what? They had another one of them there, right-wing crazy conventions in D.C. this weekend.
Another one?
Yes, it was the, what is that their thing called? The
Christian Values,
Voters Summit thing. And the headline is U.S. Christian Conservatives Defiant. An audience of 2,000 Christian conservatives gathered to listen to their political and media icons.
Hmm.
Condemn the Obama administration's alleged socialist agenda. There we go again. About the downfall of Democrats in the 2010 midterm elections.
Eric Cantor had an interesting point there.
One delegate, Sue Phelps. Oh. I don't know if any relation to, you know.
Fred Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
Or Shirley Phelps Roper.
Of the GodHatesFags.com.
Yes. Yes.
And also Swedes.
God hates Swedes. Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Drew comparisons between Barack Obama, Fidel Castro, and Adolf Hitler. They were good orators, too, she said. And said the president's nationality and religion were unanswered questions. There we go. There's your birthers.
Okay.
Your birthers at the value voters. Oh, here's one of our personal favorites, Gary Bauer, president of the American Values.
Gary Bauer.
Who looks like Peter Lorre. We're just saying he's the creepy ex-presidential candidate. He is contemptuous, calling the racism charge against right-wingers a ridiculous attempt to marginalize conservatives.
No.
And you know what? We should defend Gary Bauer and go on record as saying that I think he probably has sex with the dead of any race. I don't have any...
Just not white... Not just white
proof.
Coaches.
I don't have any more proof than the birthers do, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I bet he looks like Peter Lorre. Sorry. Everything he does seems creepy.
From the podium, Virginia Congressman Eric Cantor stoked the audience's fears with a joke about a man who goes to sleep in America and wakes up after a year of Obama to find himself in Sweden. We need the rest.
We are going to destroy the Obama administration if it's the last thing we do. Obamacare will not stand. Hitler, Stalin, Castro, Obama. You know, Rip Van Winkle might go to sleep in America and a year later find he's woken up in Sweden. Yeah, Sweden with its free education, free health care, sustainable energy, gender equality, paid parental leave, high standard of living, beautiful women, co-ed saunas, and lingonberry pancakes.
Yeah.
A fate worse than death.
No, crickets.
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Hey, where are y'all going? Who wants pizza?
They got free twisty bread. Come on. Okay.
It's just like a pizza parlor thing on a larger scale.
Yeah.
Now with more lunatics.
And finally, oh, heavens, get ready to say it.
Oh, my God.
This should really say it all about the health care reform debate in this country. Harvard study, 45,000 deaths linked to lack of insurance.
Oh, my God.
Nearly 45,000 people die each year. Just imagine for a moment if that were anything else, terrorism, something.
Yeah.
Nearly 45,000 people die each year due to lack of health insurance, according to a study in the online edition of the American Journal of Public Health.
Which only proves we should bomb Sweden.
Exactly.
Yeah,
my really point.
Logical,
thank you, Jim.
Or at least IKEA.
Jim, being the smartest person here, is the one to summon up all the facts that we've so far accumulated and make a logical conclusion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have an ad, I believe, based on this.
According to a so-called study by a nefarious left-wing propaganda rag called the American Journal of Public Health, 45,000 Americans die each year due to the lack of health insurance. This suspicious screed, that's hard to say,
yeah.
This suspicious screed, should have thought that through,
wow.
Was funded by research grants, probably issued by George Soros, and conducted by researchers from Harvard. That's right, Harvard, the center for communist left-wing indoctrination attended by the Kennedys. Not surprisingly, the study was released by Physicians for a National Health Program. The sleeper cell fifth columnist anarcho-syndicalist French Nazis actually want you to practice something called preventative care, forcing people to change their eating habits and engage in something called exercise. Don't let Nazi socialist liberal commie big government get between you and your deep-fried Twinkies, chili cheese corn dog fries, corn cheddar bacon pancakes, double cheeseburger po'boys, spam sickles, and chicken finger bacon pizza with gravy. So light up a pack of Lucky Strikes, get your 2-liter to-go cup of White Lightning, and tell Obamacare to butt out. Paid for by Americans for early death. Who wants to live forever anyway?
Funny. This is why you're fat.com.
Yes, exactly. Great research tool.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm
unless you're hungry.
Thanks. Tell your friends.
Wait, chili cheese corn dog?
That was a, where was that?
That sounds really
chili
good.
Chili cheese corn dog fries.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And chicken finger bacon pizza with gravy.
A key Senate committee will vote tomorrow on the Max Baucus health care... Excuse me.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Bill. Yeah, his bill.
All right. Sure. Bill.
All right. We're going to tell you where we're going. Critical day tomorrow. We will tell you where we're going on health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hey, Tim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Come on, baby.
You know, I my Republican mother-in-law's in town.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, it's like seeing your mom. I just want to go hang myself sometimes.
No.
Well, except it's my mother-in-law, so
okay.
I just want to hide. But anyway, we're watching Fox News this morning, Fox and, you know, Flakes. And they're talking about how the new health care is now going to kill grandma. It's not going to kill grandma through
that
death
golden panels. Oldie. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not going to kill grandma through death panels, but now it's going to kill them because grandma's going to be forced to give up her Medicare and go on the public option so that way she'll have to lose her medical care and, you know, the doctor's not going to know her and they're going to force her to change doctors and everything. Then she's going to die.
Ah, clever. So it's a more Byzantine plan to kill grandma than had originally been put forth.
Yeah, you know, instead of just having a death panels where, you know, we just want to get rid of all the old people because, you know, they're old and can't drive 55.
Right. Well, see, here's the flaw with that argument right from the get-go, you see, is a public option would mean that it is an option that nobody would be forced to be on, you see.
Oh, you know, the educated people get that. But, you know, my mother-in-law, who's 62, started throwing a fit saying, no, see, they're trying to kill me. See, now they're going to force me to go in this public option. And I looked at her, I'm like, do you miss the key word there? It's an option.
Yeah.
You don't have to give it up. And she's like, well, yeah, I'm going to have to give it up. Everyone's going to have to go to it because he's a socialist. He's going to want everyone on it.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you know what? I need booze.
I think that the Republicans are trying to, you know, clear the clogging in the healthcare system by giving enough old people heart attacks so they'll die before this debate is even really decided.
You know, either that or they're trying to make family members, you know, especially the son-in-laws, hurt their, you know, mother-in-laws.
Yeah.
I think because they're driving their son-in-laws insane.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Tim. Thank you, honey. Okay.
He's calling from an aviary, apparently.
I noticed that. So the Senate Finance Committee will vote tomorrow on this Max.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Max Baucus turd. I mean, Bill.
Bill.
His name is actually very appropriate for that. Max.
Exactly. It's obviously a key day tomorrow, which is why the president was out speaking about things this weekend about health care, which, by the way, is just a skosh bit important.
Yeah.
He addressed a few things. He said requiring people to get health insurance and fining them if they don't would not amount to a backhanded tax increase. I absolutely reject that notion. He said other elements of the plan would make insurance affordable for people from a new comparison shopping exchange to tax credits. He said what I'm saying is that we're not going to have other people carrying out your burdens for you anymore. Right now, everybody in America just about has to get auto insurance. No one considers that a tax increase. I think that is a really good point. You know, that's the problem with this whole system is we're all paying for people the auto insurance, I think, is a really good point. We're all paying for people. I'm sorry that it's irresponsible.
Yeah.
We're all paying if you don't have health insurance. And I get it. I have friends that can't afford it. But that's why they're offering, you know, some of the options that he's talking about to help it be affordable for people. But the problem is it's breaking the whole system. People that don't have health care. He also put his support behind the idea of taxing employers that offer high-cost insurance plans. He said, I do think that giving a disincentive to insurance companies to offer Cadillac plans that don't make people healthier is part of the way we're going to bring down health care costs for everybody over the long term. So I think the president, you tell me what you thought of his weekend rounds, but I thought he really clarified a lot of issues and made a lot of sense. All right, Rude Pundit. Coming up next, 28 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
I like
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I bet you like it.
Yeah. I like it a lot. I love
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah.
It's our core audience right there.
The time of day when I scream, who's my papa? Here he is, Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. Hey, Lee.
Good morning.
You have your own jingle, you know.
I do.
I'm not sure you're aware of this, but you have really, you've made it now, my friend.
Lee Papa. It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Wow. I'm disturbed and aroused, so...
The best way to describe this show. So much to talk about. The president, obviously, on a bunch of television shows yesterday, addressing charges of racism made by Jimmy Carter, among others, against his opponents. But you wrote one of the funniest, rudest things I've ever heard about this. that, you know, it's pretty apparent that there's been a lot of racism on the right. Are we right?
Yeah, I would like somebody to tell me when it stops being racist. Not, you know, what was it? Was it Representative Roy Blunt who got up before the Values Voters Summit and made a joke about golfers and monkeys stealing the balls, but the British golfers had to keep on playing, and that was the Republicans were the British golfers and the Obama administration was the monkeys.
Ah, another unfortunate monkey reference.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like they have to relearn all of their jokes and language because, you know, even something that might have seemed innocuous a while ago, a couple of years ago, saying great white hope, that's a racist phrase now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Context is everything.
Yeah, they seem to be unaware that a sign picturing the president with a bone through his nose might have somewhat of a racial tint to it.
No, that's satirical. That's ironic. It's postmodern.
Yeah. You talk about Jimmy Carter.
It's meta-racism.
This is one of the rudest, funniest, most provocative ones you've written. You say, listen, when former President Jimmy Carter from rural Georgia in the damn 1920s says something is racist, he knows what the he's talking about. Can you imagine the number of toothless crackers he grew up around? No, you can't. Don't even try. Because if you didn't grow up during a time when racism was seen as the way things were, where there were more lynching of blacks than in any other state but Mississippi, you shut the up and listen to the man, because he knows from racist. I think you raise a good point.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy Carter has fought racism his entire life, probably within his own family to begin with, and, you know, he's not saying these things lightly, and everybody's, the right wing is dismissing him as if he's just cranky, crazy old man.
Right, well,
the people that would worship at cranky, crazy, Strom Thurmond's feet.
Yeah, as our friend Hal Sparks says, then it's a clutch the pearls moment. What? Racist?
Yeah.
You know, like we all act like we were born yesterday.
Yeah.
You also go on to say, this ain't new. The Rude Pundit knew people who worked for Jesse Helms, and they all said that in private, Helms was one of the most despicable racists they'd ever heard. As much of a mother as he was in public, that probably means the N-word was a noun, verb, and an adjective to him. And that's true. It's like, when are we going to stop pretending what we know a lot of these people say in private?
Exactly. Yeah, and if you hang around any group of right-wingers, and I used to do that all the time, you go to any gathering of right-wingers, and this is unless there is the uncomfortable moment of the adventurous non-white right-winger being there, that the racial jokes just simply fly, and the racial references, and it's funny when you're with.
Well,
I wrote also about being at a David Duke rally. Where, you know, I guess the hood can come off a little more easily, but it's,
right.
Or maybe get put on a little more easily. It's almost as if this secret code is now being revealed for what it is.
Well, you said that this is what David Duke actually said. I'm just saying in public what people have been saying in back rooms for years. And they think they're not racist if they whisper it.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, which is you know, it was refreshingly honest, actually. And David Duke, I guess, could afford to be refreshingly honest. Isn't that a sad thing to say about the state of things?
Yeah. You write, some coded racist terms have been adopted into the mainstream, like inner city, about how public option has turned into code for giving to black people, like welfare before, and helping the poor is so odious to conservative whites in this country because it helps non-whites, even if not helping the poor harms poor white people. And that's exactly it, getting them to vote once again against their best self-interests.
Yeah, and the uproar over Acorn is that too. It's Acorn has done more to help poor people than virtually any Republican administration in the last, well, let's at least say 40 years.
Right. Well, you right that that's Acorn's become another code word for blacks. There's a strange outrage that the mainstream media, except for beyond Fox News, isn't covering the scandal that a few stupid employees said something stupid on tape.
And it's ludicrous that Acorn has become all of a sudden. I mean, this organization that used to of people that mostly you would see annoying you to register to vote, has all of a sudden and that are trying to get housing for the poor in a time of a housing crisis.
Right. Well,
all of a sudden have become the new Red Scare, the part of the new Red Scare.
Right. Well, I mean, and the president addressed it this weekend. He said they absolutely ought to be investigated. It's not a major issue, though. He's clearly, well, that's the thing. They try to make this like a major issue in America. Healthcare reform is a major issue.
Well, and it's a great distraction because you get something glamorous like, you know, people acting like the most... I loved how stereotyped the pimp and whore actors were.
Yes. Oh, my God.
It was so great. It really was.
Halloween costumes of what people think pimps and whores look like.
I just wondered if the people...
They look like Huggy Bear?
Yes, seriously.
Yeah, how much were they humoring them just to because they were scared in the office?
Right,
right.
And right. I love
it.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it was. I've lost my point. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you because you have my favorite. Isn't it ironic moment?
Isn't it ironic?
You're posting this week. You said, "What must be a harmonic convergence of vicious, evil, and vile circumstance?" Greta Van Susteren had Karl Rove on her Fox News show last night to comment on the Acorn thing, whatever the. It is. Rove, who while in the White House is in an appointed position that was way more powerful than any kind of czar, ordered the firing of David Iglesias as a U.S. attorney in New Mexico because Iglesias wouldn't go after Acorn for quote-unquote voter fraud. And so, I mean, it really is. It was a harmonic convergence.
And you know, Iglesias investigated. They asked Iglesias to investigate these allegations of voter fraud. And because Acorn polices itself better than anybody else polices them, they had already given up the people and admitted wrongdoing took care of it. And Iglesias said, there's no case here. And
right.
So Roe fired him.
That's what we were saying, Lee, during the election, is that what people lost in all that smoke and mirrors, nobody actually voted illegally. That was the whole point. It's like, a bunch of people were trying to make extra money by registering people that didn't exist, but none of those people voted. They exposed it themselves, like you said.
Yeah, talk to Visa and see, talk to Citibank and see how many people apply for credit cards under Donald Duck or, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. You finish up by saying conservatives in power who watched George W. Bush get nearly everything he wanted and turned it to have staked their last chance at regaining power on making Obama into that N-word who wants to hurt the white people, him and his N-word-loving accomplices. What Carter... Which is really true. I mean, it's very rude in your style, but you go on to...
Just to clarify for your readers, if you go to the site, it doesn't say N-word.
No, it does not.
Right.
It does not.
Because it's the Internet and we can do things
That's
like
right.
I understand. The Internet allows you to be even scampier than you normally would. What Carter was reacting to, among other things, was the yell of "You Lie" from Representative Joe Wilson at President Obama. That yell was the barbaric scream of impotence of an exiled warrior. Implicit was that no black man was going to tell him how the world runs, especially when it comes to Hispanics. And I think that's what we were saying. Like it was a coincidence that what he was yelling about was illegal immigrants, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. That was a convergence of, you know, a black guy telling him about Hispanics. Whoa. No way. There's no way that you're going to tell me that. I've lived like a white guy my whole life. I know.
Did you happen to catch any of the, what was it, the Values Voter Summit thing?
I have tried to avoid it like the plague. There's only so much stomach acid one man can take in a weekend. And, you know, what you get during the week is really enough. I just wonder, why doesn't Glenn Beck show up and speak at these things? He didn't speak at his own march.
Oh, I know. No, it was the same crazies there. They just made more suits and ties. It was the same
and
birthers.
It was almost
and...
the exact same speakers that were at the 9/12 thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read a couple of things about it, but
I had acid reflux too. That was just like the 9/12 thing coming up again, and you know it's you don't need that.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Not after you read the Max Baucus bill, you do not need to see that again.
Oh no, the Max Baucus bill is just it's sad. When Baucus came out with a bill that had no bipartisan support, I felt like, was it like a prison cell in that room? Was Max Baucus just the punk to Enzi and Grassley, and at the end of, you know, finally having their way with him, they told him that he was going to go out there and announce this and love it that nobody else was supporting it. It was sad.
Yeah, it was a sad little moment on how he was all by himself out there. He was like John Belushi in Animal House. He apparently, they got him all fired up about the bill, and then he was out there all by himself with his little piece of bipartisan gruel. Anyway,
and the whole misinterpretation of by the protesters against the health care bill, I sit there and think, what you're really saying is, yay corporations, we love you corporations.
I know.
I know.
If you're protesting the government, and, you know, you're kind of protesting yourself if you're not, since we just had an election and we got another one coming.
Yep, absolutely. It is rudepundit.blogspot.com. It is rude and hilarious. Lee Papa, thank you, honey.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes, our buddy, our pal. He tells it like it is.
He certainly does. And, yeah, that his website, rudepundit.blogspot.com, not for the kids.
No.
And not safe for work.
No.
No.
All right.
Unless you work in a whorehouse.
Well, yeah.
All right. What did the president have to say this weekend on the health care debate? We will tell you when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, we will have Eric Bollard from Media Matters coming up to find out what's going on in right-wing world.
Yeah.
Yikes. Oof. All right. The president, meanwhile, if you missed him on TV yesterday, then you live in a cave.
Or you're still drunk, maybe.
Yes.
From the
actually,
night before.
That would be my excuse. I actually didn't watch the president anywhere.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
I was drunk.
Okay, then.
I'm marinating this all week. Like, I could tell him what to say, for God's sake. So I understand what he's going to say. He addressed the racism charges that President Carter made. He acknowledged some Americans don't like him because of the color of his skin, but argued a vast majority of his opponents simply disagree with him on the merits of the issues. The president yesterday.
Are there people out there who don't like me because of race? I'm sure there are. That's not the overriding issue here. I think there are people who are anti-government.
There's that.
But if they got pictures of you with a bone through your nose,
yes.
That's beyond
right.
Anti-government.
Yeah, right next to the guys with the signs that Tim McVeigh had the same mm-hmm. quotes, they used the same quotes.
Yeah, but...
And his anti-government screeds.
President Obama needs to stay above the fray. He lets, you know, his people...
He lets me and the rude pundit...
Exactly.
...talk about it. He did make a good point. He said, I do think what's part of what's different today is the 24-hour news cycle, cable TV blogs and all this focus on the most extreme elements on both sides. They can't get enough of conflict. It's catnip to the media right now. So the easiest way to get 15 minutes of fame is to be rude to somebody. That's true.
Yeah, like the rude pundit.
Exactly. who we like because he's on the left.
That's right.
Okay, now there are some who, setting aside the issue of race, actually think are more passionate about the idea of whether government can do anything right. And that's probably the biggest driver of some of the vitriol. Jim's talked about this, and the president made the historical comparisons that they called FDR the same thing, communist, socialist, mm-hmm. Yada, yada.
And he also, Kennedy
mm-hmm.
and Truman and mm-hmm. you know, it's,
he also
anyone
said
who tries it.
Things were said about Ronald Reagan when he was trying to reverse some of the New Deal programs that were pretty vicious as well, except those were true.
Yeah.
He was trying to dismantle the New Deal. Not to be partisan anyway. We're just saying.
Yeah.
Well, this Medicare is a commie plot. I don't think you should trust it.
He said, I think you actually put your finger on what this argument's really about. It's an argument that's gone on for the history of this republic, and that is what's the right role of government. How do we balance freedom with our need to look after one another? This is not a new argument. It always invokes passions. Yeah, I think somewhere in the middle. I think nobody wants, well, at least I don't want the government to run everything.
No.
And I don't think, as the president has said, he really wanted, if you really think he wanted to run banks and car companies, it can't be said enough, he inherited all of this mess. So, you know, the government does have some role, and it is literally reflected in these people screaming at the town halls about keep your government hands off my Medicare. They don't get that that's a program run by the government.
Yeah.
The president.
There's been a long-standing debate in this country that is usually that much more fierce during times of transition or when presidents are trying to bring about big changes. The things that were said about FDR are pretty similar to the things that were said about me, that he was a communist, he was a socialist. Things that were said about Ronald Reagan when he was trying to reverse some of the New Deal programs, you know, were pretty vicious as well.
And accurate.
Well, we're just saying, for instance, you know, this is the comparison that's made all the time because of Hurricane Katrina with FEMA. It did it run well under George Bush? No.
Computer says no.
Because they're an administration that believed the government shouldn't run anything, so then they proved it. Mm-hmm. It ran great under Bill Clinton.
And one of the Roosevelt laws that was overturned was Glass-Steagall, which made this whole global financial meltdown possible.
Yep.
By knocking down the firewall that existed between commercial banks and investment banks.
Yeah, exactly. We would not be in the state we're in, whether it's the economy or healthcare, if there was some regulation, mm-hmm. whether it's of Wall Street or of private health insurance companies. What's the statistic that 45,000 people a year die in America,
right.
in the United States of America, because they don't have health insurance? If you think that's okay and that's a system that is fine, I mean, can you imagine that statistic right. for anything else?
Terrorism.
Right.
A war, anything.
Yeah.
The president.
There's some who, setting aside the issue of race, actually, I think, are more passionate about the idea of whether government can do anything right. And I think that's probably the biggest driver of some of the vitriol.
However, that being said, a lot of people are big, giant racists on the right, in my personal opinion. Just saying. Not everybody.
Right.
Okay.
You're related to some people on the right.
I don't know if I'm related. I don't think I'm related to racists, but I'm related to. Although my mom did do the whispery thing.
Oh, she did?
Well, that's just, in the 60s and 70s, you just whispered about the B word. But she never said anything racist.
Oh, my goodness. He's black.
Was that your mom?
That. I'm just saying, I never heard anything blatantly racist in
right.
my home.
Right.
But anyway, all right, the president.
Anytime there's a president who is proposing big changes that seem to implicate the size of government, that gets everybody's juices flowing.
I guess what's missing here, once again, is what is the Republicans' plan? Which congressman was it that told us last week that privately talking to the boner,
mm-hmm.
The thing they were waving at the president? They were like, John, this is kind of pretty much the same as our plan. He's like, I know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm just being an over-tanned right-wing tool. What's your point? I mean, they don't have any other ideas. This whole thing about let's scrap it and start over. Like, they don't have ideas except essentially what the status quo is.
Mm-hmm.
The president.
Even after you make health care affordable, there's still going to be some folks out there who, whether out of inertia or they just don't want to spend the money, would rather take their chances. Unfortunately, what that means is then you and I and every American out there who has health insurance and are paying their premiums responsibly every month, they've got to pick up the cost for emergency room care when one of those people gets sick.
Charles in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Charles.
Hi, Stephanie. Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that, I mean, the world history is full of incidents of political violence that wasn't not necessarily race-based in most cases. And so you can incite violence without it necessarily being racist. I mean, look at Tim McVeigh, what he did, same race, and you look at the people that...
Right, well, that was the president's point, that some people are just anti-government, and obviously Tim McVeigh is an example of somebody on the extreme, but we're saying people at some of these rallies have that... The guy that showed up armed at one of the president's town halls had the same saying Tim McVeigh used.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you there. I just think that some people are trying to say, well, this is not a case of racism, so anything goes. But my point is you can still promote hatred without necessarily promoting racism. I mean, look at the people have committed mm-hmm. assassinations in this country. They're the same race as the victims.
Yep, yep.
And then as far as the race is concerned, you look at this Joe Wilson. Now, he belongs to this Sons of the Confederate.
Confederacy.
And,
mm-hmm.
That group actually celebrates the Holocaust.
Aye.
As well as racism. So he should denounce that group and resign from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he'll do that any second now. All right. 57 minutes after the hour, Eric Bowler, doing the Lord's work at Media Matters, will join us for another entertaining edition of Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
World coming right up. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Eric Bowler from Media Matters joining us. to talk about all things right-wing world. Like the fact that Bill O'Reilly, we're going to get to this in just a moment, says that the far-left zealots like
Stephanie Miller
and presumably Media Matters are saying that he supports the public option. Perhaps because... Because we played him on tape saying that he supports the public option last week.
Yeah. The far left is putting out that I am now supporting a public option in health care.
I am shocked and appalled.
But that's not true. I want that for working Americans to have an option.
Now, one of the plans that we've talked about is a public option.
If the government can cobble together a cheaper insurance policy,
a public option,
I see that as a plus for the folks.
Well, then.
Far left zealots like Shano put that together for
yes.
us. Scallywag he is, playing Bill O'Reilly's actual voice back to make him look like an idiot.
Well, he is an idiot.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website, by the way. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, the official tweeter of the Stephanie Miller
Show. That's right. I tweet.
I'm
Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris. You can also see it on the front page of StephanieMiller.com.
Mm-hmm. You can email Emmy Award-winning voice deity Jim Ward there, or me. By the by, new photos up in the photo section. Mama on vacation.
Yes.
Hiking in the with Zion National Park and
whatever.
Yeah, fun. And I believe there's also old pictures of me.
Mm-hmm.
With the as a unibrowed tot. With President Gerald Ford, if you go way, way back in the... Big story about that, about how photos of mullets and leotards return to haunt people online.
Oh.
Have you seen, like, awkwardfamilyphotos.com? Like,
oh,
people are,
God,
now
that's
that there's,
awesome.
There was no internets when we were growing up,
yeah.
So now people are finding these things and humiliating us all over again. Matching mullets, regrettable tattoos, metal mouths, and goofy grins. Such long-lost looks were never meant to be seen by anyone again, except those flipping through the pages of an old family album or studying the photo frames on the fireplace mantle. But now, Americans who grew up long before the internet...
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Opened up private lives to the world or digging up dusty boxes of photos to share on Facebook and other sites.
Damn you, Facebook.
To the chagrin of family members and schoolmates appearing in group shots.
Yeah.
Nikki Smith, a 37-year-old Facebook user, said the images took her back 20 years to the days of big hair, oversized sweaters, Air Jordan sneakers, and aviator sunglasses. I remember all those.
Uh-huh.
One photo shows her posing with her high school dance troupe in matching blue and white leotards and knee-high boots. I believe we have a picture of Chris LeBoy in Lederhosen
on
the website.
Yes, it was my uniform when I worked at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg in 1984, I think.
Although technically they were plastic hosen.
Yeah, because they were polyester.
Oh, God.
I believe we have mine and Jim Ward's actor headshots from, when were they, Jim, the 80s early?
Oh, I got to get some pictures from me as a tour guide at Universal.
Yeah!
Oh, and the picture
you and
of
Jack
with,
Wagner.
Yeah, a picture of me with my Emmy. I got to get that up there, too.
Yeah, send those to me.
I have a confession to make. Last time I visited my 86-year-old Republican mother in North Carolina, she brought out an old box of pictures.
Yeah.
I destroyed some.
Oh, you did not.
No.
Yeah, the particularly ugly ones, they made me barf.
You know, you can't destroy that DVD of Best of the Evening of the at the Improv.
If only.
Yeah.
How about this family? There's one family dressed in matching Winnie the Pooh outfits for a studio portrait. The father is on his hands and knees in a furry blue Eeyore suit. His baby dressed as Tigger sits on his back, and the mother, Winnie, stands nearby.
Oh.
Yeah, that one you'd wish you could destroy. Olivia Rhea submitted her fourth grade school portrait. A young Olivia looks up and off to the right with a shy, expecting gaze, sporting black Harry Potter-esque glasses and a mouthful of braces. Her caption, at the time this picture was taken, I wanted to grow up and be a model. I wrote letters to every supermodel I could think of seeking their advice. In each letter, I included a copy of this photo.
Oh.
I never heard back from any of them. I wonder why. Today, she's a high school math teacher in St. Louis. Haven't given up on her modeling dreams. Oh, well. Oh, boy. All right. So please, send us embarrassing photos of Jim Ward and Chris LeVoy, if you have them. All right.
Hey! No, don't put out a call like that!
Speaking of the old times...
There exists a picture of me wearing nothing but a bass. Well, I'm sort of naked holding a bass.
I'm sure my friend
was thrilled to have my junk on the back of his face, but I was very thin in those days, so that's the only reason.
How might we get a copy of that?
You will never get a copy of that.
Yeah, we'll get that about as soon as we get to Stephanie Miller's booking picture from the downtown Los Angeles jail when you were arrested. What?
I think certain people made that go away.
Yes.
Certain people with pull.
I think my lawyer daddy made that go away somehow. I was arrested for possession of a six-pack of light beer when I was in college.
Yes, you were.
When I was 20. Drinking age, was 21.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, speaking of old times, Julie with some Beaver Stack. Mama's Girlhood Home, plagued by Beaver Fever. Staff, Beaver Fever, who knew? They claim you can get it from skanky spring water. This is in Troy, New York.
Oh.
Up near where Mama used to live.
Okay.
In Buffalo, New York. Not from those pizza brothers you used to run with back in the year days up the transit. The Pontillo brothers lie. County health officials are warning residents not to drink water from a spring in the town of Steventown after several residents fell ill with a so-called beaver fever.
Wow.
Treatment may consist of antibiotics. That's
that
how you can
like
clear up your beaver
pretty
fever.
Pretty good disease to have, though. You're going to get sick. I think.
Beaver fever would be the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jonathan in Boston with the most embarrassing
it's
photo.
Spring break, isn't it?
Hello,
website. Jonathan.
Hello, good morning. You know, first, you are beyond cute.
Oh,
you're very pretty.
Thank
but
you.
I just wanted to tell you that picture of you and Sean Hannity looked a little bit more than familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like there's something perhaps going on there, and it seems a little ironic, that's all.
Listen, I would, you know, take that rumor and run with it, because I'm sort of known as a hoe, although this it could wreck his whole family values image. So go ahead and run with that rumor. I encourage that. Yes, there's something going on with me and Sean Hannity, although he's married with children.
And you're not.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Step right up, get your Republican talking points, get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be this.
Bill O'Reilly.
Is coming this right?
That's
a little brain.
Yeah. I think he just might be an amnesiac. Yeah. Maybe he's had some brain damage or something. He was dropped on his head and he actually doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Having said
how
last
many times?
Week,
yes. How many times has this happened? He accuses the far left of zealotry or whatever, and Media Matters does the same thing we do. They just play, either they post his audio online, we play the audio
yes.
of what he said, and then he accuses us of taking him wildly.
Lie.
Yeah.
The far left is putting out that I am now supporting a public option in health care. That's all over the net.
Mm.
But that's not true.
The net.
So I support a marketplace for private insurance companies overseen by the feds.
Mm.
Left-wing zealots distorted my remarks like they usually do.
Ah. There they go again.
That's not what you said.
Oh, would you like to hear what he said? This is what he said.
I want that. I want, not personally for me, but for working Americans to have an option.
An option.
That if they don't like their health insurance, if it's too expensive, they can't afford it.
Uh-huh.
If the government can cobble together a cheaper insurance policy that gives the same benefits, I see that as a plus for the
government public option.
Let me get this straight,
companies.
Jim. So this would be then an option available to the public that is run by the government.
Cobbled together by the government. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that would be sort of a perfect description of the public option currently being...
We're just deliberately misinterpreting his words. That's what it is. Sure. Yeah. Huh?
I'm going to go with Jim's theory. I think he may have been struck in the head this time.
Yes.
Okay.
He's a little bit touched.
Okay. All right. Well, thank God he's on Fox News.
Now, there are a few places Americans can go these days for honest reporting and analysis. I believe Fox News is one of those places, and our ratings prove it.
Okay. Yeah. They were making a big story out of the fact the president didn't go to Fox News.
Yeah.
This is a station where one of the hosts has accused him of being a racist.
Yeah.
I don't even name however many other things on Fox News. Why would he go on Fox News?
Exactly. I came to the conclusion over the weekend that Fox News has just become infotainment for conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more.
It's political porn.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just an entertainment channel.
Yeah, well, for things like the, by the way, if you've read the Time magazine story about the noted madman,
yeah.
Glenn Beck, who I think we can all at least agree on both sides of the aisle, he's crazy.
I think the Van Jones story turned into a story, and yet still no one has gotten it right. It's not that he was, he was a 9/11 truther or that he called the Republicans a bad name. This guy was a communist revolutionary, never disassociated himself from that. And the media is still not recording this and still not reporting and asking the president, how did he get in?
Probably because it's not true.
He's Che Guevara, is what he's saying, essentially.
Yeah, right.
He's a communist. Did he cite any evidence for him being a communist revolutionary?
Oh, God, no.
He smoked a cigar once.
Mm.
And he may have worn a beret at some point.
And he called Republicans.
No, not at the same time.
At least he speaks the truth. You know, you got fired from the Bush administration for not lying enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My lover, Sean Hannity.
Mm.
He may or may not be my lover. I'm just saying.
Have you had a love child?
I don't know.
I would think you would know. I
bet
Orly
Tate is searching for the birth certificate now. I bet you I could fake one and get her to run with that. Okay.
Let me finish.
Sean Hannity.
The past few months have not been kind to the Democrats. President Obama's poll numbers are plummeting, and the future of their health care reform plans, they're in serious jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
And apparently desperate times call for desperate measures.
Uh-oh.
And that is our headline tonight. Fear tactics. Leaders of the Democratic Party have been out in full force this week, and they have sent a very clear message to you, the American people. Oppose President Obama's policies and do so at your own risk.
Huh? So Democrats are trying to get other Democrats to get on board with the thing that Democrats
Scare
got elected
tactics.
To do. I see.
You better do it. Or
by the way, the president's poll numbers are rebounding.
Yeah, they are.
Since
and Sean, that's what a House Majority Whip does. They they whip people into
which he would know
line.
About if he knew
that
anything
sounds like
about
some sort of communist plot. So they're trying to round up other votes in their party for something that there is in their party's platform.
You could using talking points from 3 weeks ago about the poll numbers plummeting. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah, Sean Hannity doesn't
refresh. Well, if he wasn't spending so much time in cheap hotels with me. What? I don't know that's true. Come on.
That hotel wasn't very cheap.
Listen, we're up against birthers and deathers and God knows what else. I'm just going to throw out wild speculation and as they do. There we go.
The intimate details of the imaginary sex you had.
Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Formerly married to Gavin Newsom of San Francisco. I have no idea.
On the Hannity.
I mean, please, it's hypocritical. And all of a sudden now they want to dust off the cobwebs of the Miss Manners book and say, be nice, don't say that. That's not friendly and courteous. Well, I'll tell you what's not courteous is the offensive language they're using about the American people, saying that they're just violent and these tea parties are out of control. These are hardworking Americans. I think it's very disrespectful.
Well, that's
how is
this
supposed to be the party of the people when they're criticizing those people for exercising their freedom of speech? Why is that a problem?
She's a bit screechy.
Yeah, she is. She is. She was on Hannity, at least when I'm not. All right. You see, that's how I'm going to combat right-wing world. I'm just going to throw out more mindless speculation and accusations that are completely unfounded.
Was Hannity a good lover?
Again, it's a subjective question.
You're going to get a nasty email from Mrs. Hannity.
No, I get emails from Hannity every now and again. I'm sure I'll get one today.
Yeah. Was there a distinguishing mark that you
said? I said Sean Hannity will be in my box later. I'm just telling you, he probably will. I look in my inbox and there he is.
Did you take pictures of his area?
I don't know.
Did it curve?
20 minutes out, it curves to the right. All right.
What a shock.
That concludes another vomitous right-wing world. Eric Kohler from Media Matters coming up with the latest on the on right-wing world spin from Media Matters as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Kelly in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Steph, I was going to ask you, it's pretty easy to pull down Fox News on its opposition to President Obama, but it's not so easy to see. This weekend, he's on with David Gregory, and David Gregory comes out and asks him a question, and the question is, so you've told your liberal base that there will be no public option. I clearly heard that, and and I didn't hear in the speech to Congress that he actually told us, and it's just on his liberal base, it's a heck of a lot more than that, people that want a public option, that there will be no public option. I'd like to know how you heard that. And it's so weird to think.
Did he? Well, I didn't see David Gregory yesterday, but did he say, is that what he said? And how did the president respond? Because, I mean, obviously.
The president responded by saying, no, I didn't say there would be no public option.
Thank you.
That, I told them that wasn't the all or nothing.
It wasn't the entirety of healthcare. That's what he said. He said, I prefer the public option, but I'm willing to listen to other ideas. And, you know, so I think obviously both sides heard something different in that. But I agree with the president. I don't know where David Gregory got that from. He didn't say there's not going to be a public option.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Joan in North Carolina. You're on the on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President this weekend as well. Hey, Joan.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to make sure that you and Chris got that email that I sent to you about the smackdown that Rick Sanchez gave.
It was great. I posted it up on my Twitter feed over the weekend.
Oh my God. I saw this.
What do you do?
Oh, it was beautiful. You just have to see it.
It was like an 8-minute smackdown of Fox, because Fox News accused CNN of not covering the Tea Party protests, and Rick Sanchez went point by point playing, you know, different correspondents who were at the event.
Yeah,
and
right. Yep, absolutely. Well, that's the problem, is all you have to do is play the actual video or audio.
Right.
To disprove their, it was like I was saying that all Oberman did is take, after the president's speech, Sean Hannity going, it sort of took me aback that the president said that the insurance company people are bad people. And then Oberman just played the clip of him saying exactly the opposite.
Right.
I mean, his point was exactly the opposite. They are not bad people. I mean, how many more times can we do that, whether it's us or Media Matters or MSNBC? You just play the actual audio to show that, like you said, mostly it's a string of lies.
Yes, it is.
Fox News. However, it's a political porn, as Jim said.
Yes.
All right. The little Republican twit, Lindsey Graham, on the president on TV this weekend.
He can be on every news show until the end of time. If he doesn't get Republicans and Democrats in a room and get off TV, we're never going to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Republicans and Democrats have been in the room for months and months, and they're still not going to vote for any version of health care reform, so let's get on with it. 28 minutes after the hour, Eric Bowler to Media Matters next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Bit bigger. At first, I thought, oh, she has a new bra with padding. But then I thought,
Stephanie Miller
doesn't need padding.
Oh, Chris, how many times have you asked me, would you like a junior fellow from Media Matters?
I asked you that every day.
Computer says no.
No, I say no. Only a senior fellow will do.
You're not a political cougar, then.
Eric Bollert, a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work. One of my fellow far-left zealots who tends to quote Bill O'Reilly directly. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
How about Bill O'Reilly saying the far-left zealots are saying that he supports the public option, because that's exactly what he said last week.
That's right. And then, of course, he had to run back on TV the next night and take it all back. But it's interesting, O'Reilly, you know, it's funny how far, you know, the radical right has lunged since Inauguration Day. I mean, I think O'Reilly has basically stayed where he is on the spectrum and stuff, and now he seems like, you know, now he seems like the wise old man of the conservative movement. It's sort of funny. He's actually not convinced that Obama is a communist.
Well, I mean, on the same
net. We'll say so to Glenn Beck, sorry.
Well, that's what I'm saying. On a network that has Glenn Beck, and now you've got all these crazy birthers, and everybody is all gelling together at these 9/12 things and the Values Voter Summit or whatever they are. You're absolutely right. O'Reilly is looking saner, isn't he?
He is, and it's quite peculiar to watch. But again, I don't think he's moved. I think the rest of the right-wing movement is just sort of sprinting towards the edge of the cliff.
Well, you have some great stuff this morning for Media Matters. You know, of course, the issue on Fox News, of course, today is that the president wouldn't come on Fox News.
Yeah.
This weekend, and you have behind the scenes footage from the 9/12 protests showing what appears to be a Fox News producer encouraging the crowd to scream and holler during a quote unquote report by Fox News Griff Jenkins at the 9/12 protest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chris Wallace was doing his thin-skinned self-pity party all weekend, going all over Fox News. You know, he's all upset. You know, Obama wouldn't come on Fox News Sunday, the show's been in the last place for like a decade. Nobody watches the show. I'm not sure why the White House even cares about it. But the obvious problem here is Fox News or Fox TV, even the entertainment side this year, has basically banned Obama, won't cover his primetime press conferences, would not cover his speech to a joint session of Congress. I have serious doubts whether they're going to cover the State of the Union next year. I mean, they've essentially banned him from Fox TV. And, of course, on Fox News, I mean, this video you're talking about is just, you know, example number 900 this year, that Fox News is not in the news business. It has transformed itself into the opposition party. It's a purely political partisan 24/7 operation.
Well, right, that's what Chris just said. It's right wing infotainment. I mean,
yeah,
that's all it is.
You know, the line was, well, we do opinion at night, we do news all day, and you know, we're just like a newspaper, and we have conservative columnists at night. And this video is, you know, I mean, you know, they have the reporter at the 9/12 rally, which is essentially bought and paid for by Fox News. And before the reporter goes on the air, the producer is whipping it up like it's a game show, you know, giving the crowd a big sign to cheer and yell.
Well, that's the thing. It's a Fox News, Glenn Beck, you know, promotional stunt, this 9/12 thing, and then they cover it like it's a giant news story.
To have a quote-unquote news reporter is out in front of a choreographic, you know, a producer who's doing the choreography. You know, it's just the latest example, and all it does is sort of solidify the White House's decision to not treat Fox and Fox News as a news organization.
Well, that's the thing, Eric. Why is the president going to go on a network where, you know, one of the hosts has said he doesn't like white people? I mean,
right, exactly. So, you know, Fox News made its bed, and you know, they're patting themselves on the back because they're getting big ratings and, you know, and hate sells. And then every now and then some reality dawns on them, like, you're going to get snubbed and embarrassed because Obama's going to do every other show but yours. And then Chris Wallace just goes into this, you know, incessant whining mode, saying, you know, the White House and Obama's a crybaby and he's thin-skinned and he can't take criticism. And look, I mean, everyone knows what's going on. And these are one of the consequences when you walk away from journalism.
Yep. Well, you know, and the other you write about this morning on Media Matters, the reaction to the Jimmy Carter and Nancy Pelosi comments show how reluctant the media is to discuss racism and, in my opinion, to be real about it. It's like, are you kidding me? When you look at some of these signs at these rallies, like that's something shocking to say that clearly there is a racist element to a lot of the opposition to the president.
Well, yeah, I mean, Glenn Beck has said Obama hates white people. I mean, it doesn't get any more obvious than that. I mean, it's not hidden in any way. I mean, race is the center of the debate. And you're right, I mean, the media dances around it, and frankly, Democrats in general do as well. So all we're left with are sort of these flashpoints, whether it's OJ, whether it's, you know, these hateful Obama rallies. You know, the press sort of pretends to address the issue of race when it's at a fever pitch and it's basically impossible to have a sane discussion. But yeah, I mean, the idea that you're going to look at these protests and the rhetoric and the signs and just say, gee, well, I can't quite tell. You know, it's more the he said, she said stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think part of it, and Eric, we've talked about this before, is that these, you know, some of these crazies, these out and out crazies at the town hall events or these 9/12 things, they're all becoming the same. There are Republican lawmakers that are at these things. There are actual senators and congressmen that are speaking at these things. There's a couple of examples, in fact, just this spring in Tennessee. You remember that the Republican state senator's office, they sent an email, said, you know, entitled the historical keepsake photo that featured all the presidents,
sure,
and then
sure.
Obama was just two white googly eyes and on black background. I mean, this more and more of this is coming out. Out here in Southern California, you remember the Republican mayor of Los Alamitos, sent an email depicting the White House lawn as a watermelon patch caption, no Easter egg hunt this year. I mean, that's the problem is, you know, in many cases, this is becoming, who's the, you know, the woman Republican that's talked about we need our great white hope. I mean.
Right, sure, sure.
So,
well, what's interesting is, you know, in terms of the whole movement, it used to be the Republican and the RNC would come up with a spin and the attacks on Democrats. They would launch it, and then the right-wing media would grab onto and echo it and push it into the press. Now it's the complete inverse. Republican politicians are essentially irrelevant to this whole movement. It's Fox News that's creating the attacks and the smears, and then now the politicians sort of play catch-up, and some sign on to it and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is just another example of how Fox News has become the opposition party to the White House. They are driving the agenda, and Republicans are just sort of bystanders in all this. It's quite amazing, obviously, to have a news organization transform itself into a opposition party.
And, Eric, you write about something this week, too, that we had the Rude Pundit on earlier, who also talked about, you know, ACORN. Let's be honest. It's another code for black people. You know, so this is like Glenn Beck now, like as you talk about this morning, setting the news agenda. I mean, Glenn Beck, who is certifiably insane, is, you know, they want this to be the only story. And you write, Fox News Glenn Beck has made no secret of his desire to influence the types of stories other news outlets cover, at one point boasting that a story on his program about ACORN would divert the media's attention from health care reform.
Yeah, well, the whole ACORN thing is you know, it's this complete obsession with the right wing. It's interesting. We're supposed to believe, according to Glenn Beck, that ACORN is this all-powerful centerpiece of the coming leftist revolution in America. ACORN is Obama's secret army. ACORN basically runs America. It's going to get $8 billion in funding and things like that. And then you'd pick up the Washington Post over the weekend. It turns out ACORN can't even pay its heating bill.
I mean,
it's barely functioning. So it's sort of a contrast between the two. But the right wing has been completely bonkers over ACORN. Fox News last fall mentioned ACORN 1,500 times during the closing weeks of the campaign. And their whole shtick last fall was, you know, massive voter fraud, and Fox News in the end couldn't find any. This doesn't spring.
Well, and the president this weekend, Eric, said there should be an investigation into this,
but
it's not a major issue that he's paying a lot of attention to, thank God.
No, right. The press loves to say, the mainstream press almost always says, you know, ACORN has received, you know, $53 million in funding, you know, since 1994. So it comes out to $2 or $3 million a year, which might be, I don't even think, would pay for the toilet paper in the Pentagon for a year. I mean, this is infinitesimal.
It's not paying for ACORN's heating bill.
So, Eric, speaking of distracting from health care reform, where do you think we are in health care reform? What's your prediction at this point? What's going
to
happen?
I don't know. I mean, now we really are down to the crunch time in terms of what happens in the Congress and the back halls, and if Olympia Snow is going to sign on or...
Former President Clinton said yesterday he thinks that we are going to get Snow and what's her name? The other one.
Yeah,
Collins
from Maine.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, and you know, there's this discussion that, you know, Democrats understand. You know, it's funny, when the Clintons were pushing their health care, Democrats had been in power in Congress forever and a day. A lot of Democrats in Congress didn't even care about the health care, and they said, you know, they resented it, and if it failed, they didn't even care. Obviously, I think the mindset now is completely different. The Democrats were in the wilderness for a while there, and they know what it's like, don't want to go back. So I think the White House has a much more cooperative Democratic Party. Obviously, there are factions within it, the Blue Dogs, et cetera. But I think in the end, it would be hard to imagine that something won't pass. Of course, then the criticism will be, you know, is it supposed to, what passes, is it a success or a failure, or because you really only get one bite at this apple. I mean, my God, it's taken half a century.
Well, what do you? I'm curious
at this point,
right? But Eric, I'm curious. Obviously, some have argued, like Jonathan Alter, that, you know, half a loaf is better than a full loaf. That on civil rights or, you know, Social Security or Medicare, any of that, it had to go back and be strengthened over time, that, it, you know, they didn't get everything they wanted. And so, I mean, do you think that does apply on health care or not this time?
Well, just based on this feeding frenzy and the unhinged reaction, I mean, I'd I don't know, unless Democrats get 70 senators, you know, at some point. It's hard to see how they come back and do it again. I mean, it's just a disaster. And what's the problem is between Medicare and civil rights and today, I mean, the public discussion, the public discourse has essentially collapsed because of the ability
thank
of
you,
the
Glenn
right
Beck.
Wing.
I said, thank you, Glenn Beck.
Right. It's because of the ability, the right wing's ability to just, you know, launch massive misinformation campaigns that make it impossible to have this kind of discussion. So I'd be surprised if, you know, 5 years, you know, we're going to come back and do this again. I mean, it's sort of political suicide. You're only going to do that, you know, once.
Mm-hmm. Eric Bowler, thank you for your work being a far-left zealot and a one-man smear machine. Far-left smear machine. I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Eric Bowler from MediaMatters.org.
Stephanie Miller, thank you for being a smear machine for the left. It's so obvious.
I'm telling you, that will make newsbusters. Stephanie Miller admitted that Media Matters
She said it.
They are, once again, irony deficient. Okay. I think either that or my implying that I may or may not, there may or may not be something going on with Sean Hannity based on pictures of us together on my website.
There may or may not be a love child.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Stephanie Miller admits to carrying Sean Hannity's love child.
And if there is a child, what? Tom DeLay would like to see his
gift certificate.
Or his birth
baby.
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate? I mean, it's a gift certificate. Yeah, his birth certificate?
So the baby got, because Papa needs some new shoes.
46 minutes after the hour. I cannot get me enough of Drunken McPeep shoes. When does that dancing show start? All right, we're getting to the real meat of healthcare reform next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Governor Haley Barbour of Mississippi.
If the federal government wants to create universal health care, the federal government ought to pay for it.
Yes. That's the idea.
Yes. That's
yes. Thanks for paying attention. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ray in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good interview.
Thank
getting
you.
Back to Lindsey Graham, that old queen needs to be toe-tapping in the bathroom like he always does.
Oh.
And get the hell off the TV if he's tired of people being on TV.
All right, Ray, thank you. The Stephanie Miller Show has no information.
What do you think of that?
Senator Lindsey Graham of...
is a toe-tapper.
Yes.
He may have no sense of rhythm at all.
Information of that kind. He's Republican royalty. We have no information on if he's an old queen. Okay.
Although I have heard that Sean Hannity has one testicle.
Have you?
Just like Hitler. Wow. Huh. Interesting historical fact.
We're just fighting fire with fire these days.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Throwing out as much speculation and misinformation as the right does. See, and then when he emails me later today and says, to ask me to stop, so I'll say, well, do you have evidence that you don't? Okay.
Do you really want to see the evidence?
Sure.
You do?
Put it up on the StephanieMiller.com.
Oh, boy.
Senator Lindsey Graham says the current health care plan has the likelihood of passing as a snowball's chance in hell, is what he said. Hmm. You know, it almost seems that might be politically motivated in some odd way, don't you think?
You think?
Hmm. Okay, let's go to Bonnie in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm just calling to tell you that it was a great interview, and the only thing missing from that interview was Karl Rove. And I don't know why anybody's surprised how Fox News has become an arm of the right wing when Karl Rove is their employee, and he's now totally hidden behind the scenes calling the shots.
Yeah. Yeah. What interview are you talking about?
One that you had with Media Matters.
Oh, me. Oh, me. It's about
your
me.
Interview.
Oh, well, in that
yes.
case, thank you. All right. Yes. All right. Thank you. Yeah. It's as I think Rude Pundit said, the Karl Rove being on Fox News talking about Acorn is some sort of evil harmonic convergence.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to Taj. Did I say that right? In Philly. Hey, Taj.
Just like the Taj Mahal.
There you are.
Yes. I just wanted to say real quick that the same people that are at the school board meetings protesting my son playing on the basketball team are the same people showing up at town hall meetings.
Why are they protesting your son playing on the basketball team?
Well, I had moved my son out of the Reading School District to play in a suburban district that I won't name. He's very good in basketball. I figured he'd get a better chance, you know, with his education and things like that. But I guess the good old boy network there didn't like that. And we ended up moving back to the Reading School District because the school board, the parents would go to the school board wondering why their son isn't playing. Well, my son's better than your son. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's black.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that he's better than them. And it was just a big outrage, and it was ridiculous. So I said, you know what, you won't get my son at all, and we'll just go back to where we came from.
Oh, I see. So their idea is that it's racist to let black kids play basketball because, I understand.
Because
they tend to be better.
Like,
yes.
Like, they're complaining because, if my kid was a 6'7 white kid from, I don't think it would have been a problem. But he's a 6'7 black dude, and their son isn't playing anymore. His son's sitting on the bench.
Wow, your son is really 6'7?
My son is 6'7. He's 16 years old.
Holy crap.
Wow, are you calling from the land of the giants?
Well, I'm 6'5, so...
Okay.
We've gotten the height in our family. So, I mean, there's a ton of schools, calling him and things like that. I thought it would be good exposure for this little suburban white high school. But they didn't like it. So what we did is I took my son back, and he's going to play now for the school that I played for.
Interesting story.
It's sad.
Yep, Taj, thank you for that. Before you go, could you say ho, 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 Green Giants?
Ho, ho, ho.
Green
Giants.
Thank
Stop
you.
It, Stephanie.
All right, thank you, Taj. You can go now. All right,
bye-bye.
Thank you. There goes the whole family. Julie in Tacoma, Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jules.
Hi. Glenn Beck's going to be in the Seattle area on Saturday. I think he's speaking somewhere in Seattle, but he's going to go to Mount Vernon, and they're going to give him the key to the city.
Oh, dear.
And the young Democrats are picketing with signs saying, change the lock. And the mayor says, well, it's just because it's local boy made good, not because he's anything political about it.
Oh, he's from Seattle?
He's from Mount Vernon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And also, I was kind of worried because Barack Obama's great-great-great-grandmother is buried in that area up there, and I hope he doesn't, go out there and try to create any kind of problem
doing
a show from her gravesite something,
Oh, God. Seattle, you have our condolences for the throngs of Glenn Beck fans that will be descending upon you. William in Los Angeles.
Hey, you had a caller named Charles a while ago who posited that Tim McVeigh wasn't motivated by racism. Tim McVeigh used to sell the Turner Diaries out of the trunk of his car at cost. He wasn't making a profit on it.
He used to sell what?
The Turner Diaries.
Oh, yes, which are very racist. Yeah, Hal Turner. He clearly was anti-government, but he probably was anti-government and racist, so it was...
During the trial, they revealed some letters he used to write to his sister. He was vehemently angry about misogyny in America, and this was in, the early 90s. He's worried about black and white people getting married. The man was clearly a racist.
Yep, by the way, have you read the Nixon quotes?
Oh, yeah.
I understand abortion's necessary sometimes, like when you have a black and a white.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
Oh,
I hadn't heard that part.
Oh,
wow.
57 minutes after the hour. Back with Tinsel Talk and what's next in healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady of the United States.
For 2 years on the campaign trail, this was what I heard from women. That they were being crushed by the current structure of our health care. Crushed.
But these stories that we've heard today, and all of us, if we're not experiencing it, we know someone who is.
Hmm. Thank you. I do. Do you?
It ain't a man's world.
I just have a friend, one of my best friends, had a detached retina, and she has no health
insurance.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, awful, except that, you know, she was lucky and knew a friend that paid for it. But, I mean, that's the problem. You know, it's like a Russian roulette these days. And we just, this new study came out, we'll talk again about later. 45,000 Americans a year die because they don't have health insurance. Yeah. If that doesn't speak louder than any other
statistic.
Yeah,
they're all bad people. Mm-hmm. That's, the Lord hated them. That's why he struck them down.
Yeah, it's the smiting. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael with some fun facts on our favorite birther, Orly Tates.
Oh, yes.
Whose lawsuit was thrown out last week claiming the president's ineligible.
I would pay cash money to see her in the Who's Gal.
Yeah. Michael writes, hello, on one morning during the past week, I believe you asked what bar association could possibly have admitted, in my view, the patently certifiable Miss Tates to the practice of law. I'm mortified to report a search of the bar of which I'm a member, California, is responsible for granting her law license. One of the unfortunate facts about the California bar is that one neither has to attend accredited law school nor even go to law school at all in order to sit for the bar exam.
Really?
Miss Tates' bar profile lists her as having attended an online law school called William Howard Taft University. Which, apart from existing somewhere in the ether, is apparently located in Santa Ana, California. Apparently, their quote-unquote law program consists of a course of study directed solely at preparing a person to take the California bar exam.
Oh.
Passing the California bar and competently practicing law, of course, two entirely different things. While Ms. Tates may say she's a member of the California bar, she appears to be as qualified to practice law as Tom DeLay is to dance professionally with the Rockettes. While I'm a public defender and thus not permitted to represent anyone who is not indigent, I'd be happy to help you, Stephanie, or Jim, should ever be arrested, which seems rather likely to happen now that I think about it. At least Stephanie, anyway. Well,
yeah.
That's true. Thank God.
That's why
Since Jacoby and Myers both quit from
right.
The Stephanie Miller staff, you know.
That's why you need to have children, so you can send them to the liquor barn, so you don't have to be out.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yes. That reduces the chances of you being arrested.
They're kind of loose with those child endangerment laws anyway, aren't they?
Sure.
They're subject to him. They're subject to interpretation, especially if you went to William Howard Taft University online. Okay.
Not to denigrate online degrees, because there are some great schools
All right.
online.
Our economy, our job, our housing situation, still not great, but at least you didn't have a bunch of flying logs crush your house this weekend like a man in Sweden did.
Oh.
Jim, Erald Sigurdsson.
He's good.
That guy.
Yeah.
A 65-year-old man from northern Sweden is once again counting his blessings and picking up the pieces after a truckload of timber slammed into his house on Thursday for the third time.
For the third time?
He lives on a tough curve, I guess, for yeah.
Well, maybe he should, move.
By now, Sigurdsson is familiar with the loud rumbling and violent shaking that occurs when a load of timber flies off one of the many trucks that around the bend on Route
363. You could build a couple of new houses with all that timber.
Yeah.
If they fall just right, you're good.
they look like Lincoln a Lincoln log.
Yeah. magically assemble themselves on the box.
He's in the bend there on 363 in his house in Orson. Screw Orson.
Sure.
Just south of Leeson.
That's a bad turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
know
I've taken that one a little too fast. On Thursday, Sigurdsson happened to be in his attic as another timber truck came around the turn, prompting a recognizable sound. It happened three times before, he said. The first time was in 1989. The second time, the house took a real licking. That was about 5 years ago.
He said real licking?
Whatever that is in Swedish.
Yeah, there, hey there. Woof.
It took a real licking flirting.
Almost took out my whole lutefisk.
Took a licking flirting.
Hey, your drivers, you in your trucks, you lay off the aquavit when you're driving you. That's a bad turn there.
Wiped out all the lutefisk and left in my freezer. All right. And you also may not have health insurance or a job, but at least you didn't get this surgery. It's a bizarre surgery, not for the squeamish. A tooth pulled from the mouth is fitted to hold an optical lens and implanted in the eye, leaving a bulging eyeball that can't blink.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
But for blind grandmother Sharon K. Thornton, the procedure was nothing short of a miracle. Now she can see all her grandbabies. She has a big tooth in her eye with a eyeball that doesn't blink.
Squirting stuff if you keep drying.
Wouldn't you have to keep
because you can't close your eyes.
I'm going to send that story to my friend with the torn retina.
Mm.
And you're like, that? Not as bad retina. As a tooth. Ooh. In your eye. Okay. All right, let's check some other entertainment news, shall we, kids?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Okay, what movie am I thinking of? You know, the one where the guy has a monocle with a giant eye, but then when he takes the monocle down, his eyes still have size? You know what I'm talking about.
Was that Top Secret?
Could be.
Maybe.
Someone will tweet us and tell us.
Yes.
All right. Amy Winehouse has been in constant pain over the last few weeks after undergoing excruciating dental reconstruction. The rehab hitmaker's teeth were left ruined following years of constant drug abuse. Amy's teeth were in a pretty gross state, a source told a British newspaper. It's kind of probably all relative in a British newspaper with gross teeth. No offense.
Oh, God.
They were brown and stained and needed major work on them, and she was determined to get them back.
How is that different from the rest of Britain?
First newspaper's like, what?
this is news? Good heavens.
And what could kind of defeat this whole story? She's been given some very strong drugs to help cope
with
the pain.
Oh, no.
So that may kind of reverse that whole magical healing process there. But okay, we have our entertainment reporter, I believe.
Hello, music fans. It's your intrepid entertainment reporter, Percy Sludgebottom, with exciting Amy Winehouse news. She's finally had her teeth done. I know what you're thinking. She has teeth? Britain's favourite crackhole hobo looks as if she'd been sleeping in rubbish in a urine-soaked corner of the Elephant and Castle tube station, offering gum jobs for a packet of crisps. But no, she actually has teeth. Broken, brown, mouldy, malodorous remnants of enamel, but teeth nonetheless. Now, after days of major dental reconstruction, picture cranes, scaffolding jackhammers and cement mixers, and you get the idea, her teeth are at their sparkling best, and Amy is in constant excruciating pain, due largely to a complete absence of endorphins in her alcohol and opiate-soaked brain. But never fear, Winehouseians, she's been given copious amounts of powerful drugs!
Oh.
Fantastic idea! Almost as good as hiring R. Kelly to hand out towels in a girl's middle school locker room. Not my cup of tea, but to each his own. This is Percy Sludgebottom, and I'm not talking to you, you bitch!
Should I call you?
No, don't call.
And finally, Sean Connery could be set to reprise his role as Professor Harry Jones in the fifth Indiana Jones movie.
They're making a fifth one?
Apparently.
Oh, boy.
A source said Steven Spielberg is working on a script with George Lucas. There's an element of the story that could see Sean returning. Anything is possible in these movies, and if Sean wants to return, he will become central to the new story.
Hmm. Oh. Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. Yes, all right, if you insist, I will reprise the role of Professor Henry Jones. Despite the fact that the last sequel, Indiana Jones and the Magical Kingdom of the Crystal Bollocks or whatever, rather loudly hinted that old Hank had shuffled off this mortal coil. I was in danger of being perceived as a nasty, crusty, dirty old cranky curmudgeon clutching his bottle of 30-year-old Lagavulin like a drowning man with a water weenie, which of course I am. But no, I will once again be an obscenely well-paid cranky old bastard. I won't make the mistake again of giving up a franchise. The world wound up with Andy Moore and George freaking Lazenby, and don't get me started on Daniela Craig. If I let my guard down, I might be replaced by some infantile pipsqueak like Ashton Kutcher or one of the Joan Arsh brothers. Here's to the fossils. Raise your glass to old farts. Albasaur.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. Hey, guess what? Speaking of entertainment, we missed the Family Research Council's Values Voters Summit thing.
Whatever.
In Washington, D.C. This weekend.
Damn.
Could you take out your organ for me, please, Chris? Former beauty queen Carrie Prejean, she stole the show with that pair of Family Research Council voter things. She talked about growing up a tomboy and the tiara she believes awaits her in the afterlife.
What?
She said, and I quote, the Lord has a much bigger crown in heaven for me.
Oh, my God.
Does she have a new breast implant?
She didn't mention that she's suing the Miss California USA pageant for taking her earthly crown away. So I guess she still would like the earthly one back if she could.
One does not get
a crown. While she awaits the crown that the Lord has for her.
One does not get a crown when one breaks one's contract. Hmm. Does she realize this?
Okay. Wow. If you think politics has gotten dirty now, guess who wants to run against Connecticut Senator Christopher Dodd? Pro wrestling executive Linda McMahon.
Really?
She's from the WWF.
E.
E.
WWE.
WWE. Pardon me.
It used to be
She's Vince McMahon's wife.
Right.
They own the wrestling thing.
Whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
She would like to have a smackdown with Senator Chris Dodd.
Hmm.
Wow.
Huh.
I didn't realize she was politically minded.
She actually, I did see her at the last Republican convention. They did an interview with her. Mm. Someone did. Yeah, so she is, yeah.
She probably knows how to do a half Nelson, as especially do I. My brother was a wrestler. He taught me all the moves.
Especially on an old man with prostate cancer. Yeah, that's great.
Ken in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I've got three great ideas. The first one is, I know Oprah's starting up a new network, and you've had some business with Oprah in the past.
Yes, I've been fired from two shows on Oprah's old network, so I look forward to the opportunity to be fired from some on the new one.
Well, but this isn't going to be fired because it's going to be formatted like The View,
only
you are the odd one out. You're the Elizabeth Hasselbeck. And it's going to be you and Oily Taints, Michelle Bachmann, Laura Ingraham, and Mann Coulter.
Oh, what a dream come true that would be for me.
Doesn't sound awesome?
Yeah, that's actually a good idea, but really not good for my acid reflux, probably. Yeah, that'd be funny if I'd be the one sane one. Okay, let's go let's go to Jeannie in Laramie, Wyoming. Holy moly. Hello, Jeannie.
Howdy. I'm a granola neck from Wyoming, believe it or not.
Wow.
That's what they dubbed me when I was in college at the University of Wyoming in the ag college. All my cowboy friends thought I was granola, and all my mountain climber friends in Wyoming Alpine Club thought I was a redneck. So my best friend said, well, you must be a granola neck.
Welcome to the Island of Misfit Toys here on the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, go ahead. You got some thoughts on health care and blue dogs.
Yes, I'm really concerned that these idiots that are making all this noise and being so stupid are going to win over. I'll tell you, my parents are from Denmark, and I'm very close to my cousins that are in Denmark, and they're doctors and sort of different types of eggheads, and they say, you know, the system works great, and Denmark is a, God forbid, democratic socialism. What is so dirty about the word socialism?
I know. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
we've got a system where 45,000 people a year die because they don't have health insurance. So I think I might want to get me some socialism if that would be available.
Oh, after the break, we'll tell you where you can see a picture of you and Sean Hannity at the Motel Itchy Kitty.
Great.
Yes.
That and what does Secretary of State Hillary Clinton think about what's going to happen with health care next? She might be one to know as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
In Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hey, Bill.
Hello. It's been running around in my head that this need for health insurance, this need for health care, is not a discretionary purchase. It's not something that, maybe I will, maybe I won't buy it. It's the need for it is so overwhelming in today's age that, therefore, when you go somewhere to buy it, somebody basically can extort you because of your great need for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, when these people say, oh, why should the government provide it? And, you know, the implication is there that these people who aren't really buying it are spending their money doing something else, and the implication is it's those people that are doing that, and we have to carry them. But really, as all the stories keep coming out, somebody somewhere is going to need health insurance that they can't afford, and when they go to get it, they're going to be extorted by the person providing the service. And yep. The government can help us with that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, it's, you know, like the president was talking about this weekend. I think it should be like auto insurance. The problem is we're paying for everybody now that doesn't have health insurance. And it's the whole system is a mess. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who might know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Yes.
About health care.
We just have to calm down here, take two aspirin, go to bed, think about it in the morning. But I'm very optimistic. I think that, you know, it won't be pretty. It's like sausage making. But we will end up with a bill for the president to sign that will be in advance. And that's what I think is in the best interest of the country. And, of course, it will have political benefits for the president, but I think that what's most important is getting this done.
Her husband, former President Bill Clinton, predicted Barack Obama will prevail as well in his bid to win passage of health care. He thinks that we're going to get Olympia Snow and what's her name? Esmeralda. Senator Ghostly. The what's her name?
Susan Collins of Maine.
Yeah, her. He said, I believe he'll get Snow and he could get Collins and he might get three or four more others.
Wow.
That seems unlikely. Optimistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you can tell who's the pessimist and who's the optimist. tomorrow, a key day in the health care debate. Members of the Senate Finance Committee plan to start voting on their version of a health care reform bill. That would be the max buckus.
0.89% increase in state Medicaid obligations over the baseline.
Our buddy, our pal, you know, the Ask Me President, he's our union guy, Gerald McEntee, who we love, who we have on all the time.
He's awesome.
Last week at the AFL-CIO convention, he called the Max Box's bill bull.
That's funny.
Oh, I love him. He's a plain-spoken man. It's what I love about these guys. We're going to have Terry O'Sullivan, who's the head of the union I spoke to last week in Orlando, on as well. Leuna. Because they speak for real people that have real problems, that understand how healthcare is breaking the country. But anyway, apparently what Gerald McEntee said is about the bill. He said it does not meet President Obama's standards either. There's no employer mandate, no public option, no help for retirees. The Finance Committee bill imposes substantial costs on the states, weakens state insurance regulation, and taxes our health plan. It's all bull. And I agree. Let's hope that the blending of all the bills, including that one, ends up being something. That's what I mean. Who the hell are we negotiating with? Why is this piece of watered-down bipartisan gruel that nobody on the other side is going to vote for anyway? 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're the perfect woman. That's so great.
33 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Tim in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I got a quick, how come Fox News has never done one single story about Blackwater? We're giving Blackwater billions of dollars, but they want to bellyache about the little millions that we're giving to Acorn. The second thing
is,
how come they've never, ever had any coverage about the white supremacists who beat and stomped the black lady who was a Marine reservist at the Cracker Barrel down there in Georgia last week?
Yeah, because they don't cover things like that, because that would make their right-wing lunatic listeners look bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, the breaking news. Julie in Seattle, she has found a hidden camera photo that caught star-crossed lovers Sean Hannity and Stephanie Miller sharing a tender moment at the Motel Itchy Kitty in Reseda, California. That's up where, Chris?
Just scroll to the bottom of the front page of StephanieMiller.com and look for it in latest pics from the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's a strip club and a hotel.
Is it photoshopped? Who can tell?
Who can say?
Is the Kenyan birth certificate real? Who can tell?
Let me finish.
Exactly. Let's go to Merrill in Everett, Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hello, Merrill.
Yes, hello. I've heard statistics that every 5 days, 3,000 Americans die from lack of healthcare, equivalent to a 9/11, and that would perhaps by definition, make us a terrorist nation, and we should rethink this.
Well, that's exactly what I was saying earlier, is that, you know, there's this study out saying 45,000 Americans die every year because of lack of health care. How would, on what other issue would we tolerate that? We just wouldn't. Kim in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Steph. You're a good Catholic girl just like me, spawn of Republican parents.
Sure.
Being such, take out your copy of the King James Bible and follow with me.
Okay.
Matthew 26, think of...
sorry, I was on Ecclesiastic.
Okay, no, come on.
I was on the episiotomy, pardon
me. You're very, very rusty. I'm a little embarrassed for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Matthew 26, it says, Judas Iscariot went into... Oh, and think Max Baucus as I read this, please.
Yes.
Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted him with 30 pieces of silver. Let's see, Max Baucus, 30 pieces of silver versus 30 million in donations from the healthcare industry.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Kim.
Okay, are you hearing me?
Yeah, I am.
Okay,
you're subtle, but I got it. Okay. All right. You know what? I wouldn't worry, Jim, because we have, Democrats with balls of steel,
yes,
like Harry Reid. They know how many people are dying every year, and they're going to get this done now. Now!
You know, we are going to have a busy, busy time the rest of this year. And, of course, nothing terminates the end of this year. We still have next year to complete things that we have to.
What?
Well, we got stuff
Democrats
to
when you absolutely, positively have to have it. Whenever,
you know, there's some other stuff with the house cleaning we have to do, and cleaning out the files, and
you know who stuff. I want to be the new Democratic leader? I want Shirley MacLaine. I want us to get health care like her daughter needed the pain medicine. I want to see a little urgency in the health care debate.
The pain shot. Please, I don't see why she has to have this pain. It's time for her shot. You understand? Do something. All she has to do is hold out until 10, and it's past 10. She's just in pain. My daughter is in pain. Give her the shot. You understand?
You're going to
give my daughter the shot.
That would do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Alternatively, Sister Mary Oliphant. Okay. President Obama, as you know, launched a TV broadcast blitz yesterday to push his top domestic priority, health care. On Meet the Press, he laid out what he called the core principles. Could I have my fine American music, please, for health care reform? He said the principles we've talked about, making sure there's an insurance exchange that allow people to buy in and get health insurance and negotiate as a big pool to drive down costs. Making sure we have insurance reform that makes sure we can still get health insurance even if you've got a pre-existing condition, and cap out-of-pocket expenses and so forth. Making sure it's deficit neutral both now and in the future. Making sure it's driven down health care inflation so that we can actually deal with our long-term budget deficits. Those are the core principles that are critical to me. Me? To Mr. President, can we get that? Oh, not if the boner has anything to say about it.
They've been overreaching all year. They've got big majorities in the House. They've got big majority in the Senate. They have the White House. This is their moment. Except that the overreaching has caught up with them.
Oh. And not the Republican obstructionism by over-bronze tools. No, it couldn't be that.
By overreaching to the other side of the aisle, where they got their fingers bitten off?
That's right.
The overreaching you're talking about?
John in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. Hey, we called out our congressman last month for using a young kid for his heart condition for a reason against the public health option. And it went all over the internet and everything. But we found out yesterday that this little boy who has a pre-existing heart condition now is being taken care of by civil service employee health care benefits, which, like the public option.
Yeah, the public option, which Bill O'Reilly is for. Well, he was last week, but now if you say that by playing back the actual audio, you're a left-wing zealot.
The far left is putting out that I am now supporting a public option in health care.
I am shocked and appalled.
But that's not true. I want that for working Americans to have an option.
Now, one of the plans that we've talked about is a public option.
If the government can cobble together a cheaper insurance policy,
a public option,
I see that as a plus for the folks.
Thank you, Chana.
Okay. Damn liberal tape recorders.
Tape recorders have a liberal bias, as we all know. Okay, Representative Chris Smith, Republican of New Jersey, putting out the same lie again about the abortion.
When the president said, seemingly airtight rhetoric the other night, that under our plan, no federal dollars will be used to fund abortion, those words were demonstrably false and extraordinarily misleading.
You lie.
So were they false or were they just misleading?
Loading the liar cannon against the president once again. Just a different version of the you lie.
You're a liar, honey. A dirty, rotten liar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
You can't say it's false and misleading. It's got to be. It's one or the other.
Yes.
If it's misleading, that means there's at least a grain of truth to it. If it's
like
completely false.
Like the illegal immigrant lie, it is specifically spelled out in the bill that funding cannot be used for abortions. You've heard some. It's like this Byzantine explanation of, well, but if this, that, and they got funding over this, and then if you're, I believe what it is, isn't it, Chris, if I'm not misunderstanding this, obviously some insurance plans now cover abortion.
Sure, some do.
Right, but so they... The point is, it's not something that they're putting in. It's something that's already in there.
Right. However, the Hyde Amendment would have to be overturned if federal funds are going to fund abortions.
Yeah.
So they have nothing to worry about.
All right. Senator Mitch McKinless, Republican of Kentucky.
Ordinary Americans speaking their minds, dismissed and ridiculed by people in power. The reason they're doing this is clear. Because we're winning the argument.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay, you keep thinking that.
Computer says no.
No, just about every poll shows support for the plan, shows support for the public option. And the people being ridiculed?
Yes, but the news cameras caught the footage of the people out there, so that's what's real because it's on the TV.
Mm-hmm. The people being ridiculed are people that are using blatantly racist signs or other. I mean, these are all.
Well, the people.
The same people, the birthers, the deathers, the death panel people.
That's why Obama lost.
The people that deserve to be ridiculed. Art, my right-wing ring love mutton in Chicago. He's a mutton?
Yeah.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, you're talking about health insurance, which is important. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are 39 states with unemployment over 14 to 15%.
Illinois, also important.
And Illinois is one of them. We got to get people back to work. Let's not worry about health care because people are – I'm in a group here with ARP, and we're helping young people who are out of work bringing them food. They're out of work down here. That's the importance. And let's get these people back
right.
to work.
But I think
that's
healthcare
is important. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Art, I think healthcare. Why can't we work on both? I mean, obviously.
Well, I don't hear nothing about
healthcare is part of what. Pardon me?
I don't hear anything about unemployment. Not one word did he say Sunday about unemployment. Not a word.
I think the president has talked a lot about unemployment.
What
obviously,
was this? You tell me. What's he going to do about it?
Well, first of all, oh dear God! All right, thank you, Art.
Why doesn't somebody solve all the problems?
I feel like I was having an argument with the Pepperidge Farm guy,
or Bartles from Bartles and James.
Give me a second, Art.
Right about that thing. Right about that. Why didn't you fix that? Right about that.
Thank you for your
you
support.
You don't remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
The president obviously is speaking this weekend because health care reform is getting to a critical phase. So that's what he was speaking about. He has spoken, obviously, a lot about unemployment and what a critical problem it is. Obviously, that's part of what the stimulus is about. It's part of... Well, you know what the cash for clunkers, all sorts of stuff that he's tried to do to fix the situation job wise. But what healthcare is part of what's breaking our whole system. I mean, so that's why I don't understand this whole like, oh, we can't do that until we do this. I mean, anything the president does today, do you think that's going to take care of the jobless situation overnight? Of course not. By gum, by cracky,
just stop doing anything. Let the private sector fix it. By golly, that's the way I heard it.
Why don't we just abolish the government
Thank
if
you.
The private sector is so good at doing things?
Thank you, Bartles. Have James call back. Won't you? 44 minutes after the hour.
James is the one who didn't talk.
Oh.
He's the one who just sat there.
I'll enjoy that more.
Yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Max in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Max.
Hey, good morning. I think that whenever a politician appears on any of these news talk programs to discuss health care, the first information we should be given is how much money did they get from the hospital industry, the insurance industry, and the
should be right on company. Chiron, right?
Mm-hmm. Who owns them, and why aren't we getting what we deserve? This is just really
sad. You know what, Max? Here's a better idea. I think it ought to be like a NASCAR. We ought to make sure they pass a law where they need to have the, they need to wear them, like on the hats and on their clothes.
I think that is a fantastic idea.
Thank you. Thank you. We need to know exactly who their sponsors are. Listen, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, that's what I'm going to look like by the time I go to
that is
appearances
true.
And my forehead, everywhere.
You're going to have tattoos of sponsors.
Exactly.
You look like NASCAR.
Dan in Huntsville, Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I have an idea to take care of the health care problem. I live in Alabama, and there's been talk of seceding and, you know, Texas. And how about if we have two different citizenships, one for people that don't really want health care, what they got's great, and one for the rest of us that think, we do want the health care. We want the government to do it. We're willing to pay a little bit extra.
Yep.
We have our own citizenship.
Yep.
So it's kind of like two classes of citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course, it's sort of what Obama's proposing anyway. Nobody has to have it. You don't have to take it if you want, but they don't get it. So maybe we make it a little clearer. You know, we just have two different types of citizens, people with health care and without.
Yep. If you're one of the 45,000 people who died because you didn't have health insurance this year, well, first of all, you're not listening right now.
Yeah.
Second of all, what? does that not come at a critical point in this debate as the Senate Finance Committee starts voting tomorrow on this bill? We're really at a critical juncture in the health care debate. Nearly 45,000 people die each year due to lack of health insurance, according to a study in the online edition of the American Journal of Public Health. What is hard to understand about that? And if that is okay with you in the United States of America, I'm sure the right will have an ad about that any second now.
According to a so-called study by a nefarious left-wing propaganda rag called the American Journal of Public Health, 45,000 Americans die each year due to the lack of health insurance. This suspicious screed was funded by a research grant probably issued by George Soros. And conducted by researchers from Harvard. That's right. Harvard, the center for communist left-wing indoctrination, attended by the Kennedys. Not surprisingly, the study was released by Physicians for a National Health Program. The sleeper cell, fifth columnist, anarcho-syndicalist, French Nazi Muslims actually want you to practice something called preventative care, forcing people to change their eating habits and engage in something called exercise. Don't let Nazi, socialist, liberal, commie, big government get between you and your deep-fried Twinkies, chili cheese corn dog fries, corn cheddar bacon pancakes, double cheeseburger po'boys, spam sickles, and chicken finger bacon pizza with gravy.
Yum.
So light up a pack of Lucky Strikes, get your 2-liter to-go cup of White Lightning, and tell Obamacare to butt out. Paid for by Americans for Early Death. Who wants to live forever anyway?
Ooh, I want those chili corn dog cheese fries.
This is why you're fat.com.
Oh, yeah.
Jay in Tucson.
Fat just looking at it.
Hey, Jay.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm a young black woman living in Tucson, Arizona, and I would be considered more conservative, and I want to let you know that we're not all racist. Older white people, there are some of us that are just against the policies and not necessarily skin color.
I know that is absolutely true. Of course it is.
I just wanted to make sure. I'm just now learning about stuff now, so keep doing what you do. And about health care,
yes.
I think that something needs to be done, absolutely, but not anything. That's what we're saying. Not a rush job.
What do you think needs to be done?
I don't necessarily not support a public option. I think that is a possibility, but I don't think that it should be government run.
How else would it be a public option?
That's the only way it would work.
I don't think the government should have like a huge hand in it. I don't think that they should operate anything.
It's just an option, Jay. It's just one option. You know, and studies have shown maybe 5% of Americans would end up in it. Why, even if you don't want that option, why would you not want other people to have it?
From what I've read, the House bill that I've read, that 1,000-page thing that was, like, terribly difficult to find.
Which is just one of the five bills that are floating
right
out there.
Right, and the other ones I haven't been able to find yet, and the Baucus plan, which is just ridiculous. The things that are sandwiched in between, those are the things that bother me, that they keep saying that there's not, people are not going to be forced into a plan where it will not be direct. It doesn't read as though it'll be direct, and I don't claim to be an expert or anything. But the way it reads is that it won't be a direct, like you have to do this, but that they'll systematically push you into that.
No, if they offer a better deal, wouldn't you choose it? I mean, that's the thing. The argument doesn't make sense to me, Jay. They're saying the government can't run anything, they shouldn't run anything, but they're going to run this so well that it's going to drive all the private insurers out of business. So how can both of those things be true?
That's not my stance. I don't believe that they'll run it so well that they'll drive people out of business. I believe.
Well, why are you scared of it then? Why are you scared of letting other people have the option?
No, I'm not scared of letting other people have the option. I just think that it's something that should not be rushed into because it's a necessity, like you're saying. And
we've been trying to get health care reform since Truman.
Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, 1912.
I understand that, but the plans that are coming out, and this, I can only go by what I've read. I would never propose to bring any information I don't know about. I can only go off of the two things that I've read about. I haven't read the other ones.
All right.
So
well, keep an open mind, and you have to
listen to your show.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have to. You are balancing out the crazy factor on the right, so they need you. Stay
right.
Hang in there.
You do. Yeah.
Hang in there.
But as John Fugelsang is so fond of repeating, find a country that has gone away from the public health care.
Yeah.
Because it's been so disastrous for them that they opted for the American plan.
Yeah.
You can't find them.
Exactly.
Sure.
Don't exist.
Fine-tuning is in order, as
right.
it is with any organization.
Sure. And they have hybrid systems like Germany,
absolutely.
Where you have the public plan, and then you can buy private insurance if you want.
It's wow. So Jay was a fairly reasonable conservative. That I don't know how she likes being represented by, for instance, the people at the Values Voters Summit this weekend in D.C., which was a lot of the same conglomeration of people that were at the 9/12 thing. Mitt Romney singled out praise for the millions of Americans who stepped up in town halls and tea parties across the country. He said the Democrats have derided these people as a mob of crazies. I call them patriots, Romney said. Well, okay, except that they're kind of crazy patriots.
I'd like to see a Christian in the White House is what I'd like to see.
You don't think Obama's a Christian?
No, I don't. He's a Muslim.
He's already destroyed, like, most of the country. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
Washington, D.C. is district of corruption. That's why everything is going so bad the way it's going.
Barack Obama, in its content, means Antichrist.
His mother was white, so he's not an African-American, but he's going that way because that's what pays off for him.
Uh-huh. And one reason I'm here today is because of my grandson. And if he said, Grandma, what did you do when our country is changing? I said, I did this. I stood up. I don't work anymore.
What I'm saying is that Hitler was a good speaker. He turned a lot of people on with his eloquent speeches, and so was our current president.
Well, fascism is a form of socialism, I would believe. I mean, they're all intertwined. Communism, fascism, socialism.
Czars in the White House.
What is a czar?
What are they?
Russian czar. This is America. We don't have czars in America.
We did under Bush, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I'll be back with more of the tomorrow, Jim, some of the seminars you missed if you missed the Values Voters
Summit.
We'll be back with that. We'll see you then. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.